Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Happy Monday and good afternoon. Welcome into the Pro Football Chase podcast. It's Isaac Sines with you, June 13th, and we are getting closer to NFL football. And on the show today, I have NFL safety J.J. Wilcox, and he's going to be joining me to discuss a variety of different topics, rookie head coaches, which coaches are set up for the most success, and all that good stuff. So I'm excited to have him on the show once again. But first and foremost, let's check in on JJ. So how you doing today, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. It's a pleasure.
Awesome. It's always good to have you on the show. I know you've been joining me on the call-in app. Now I'm on summer break, so I have the opportunity to record right here with my equipment on my mic. So I'm excited to get back to NFL football, man. And you know, it's around that time of June. We got mandatory mini camps. We got storylines. We got players getting paid, big contract extensions, players holding out. You know it, JJ, more than anybody here being in the league yourself as a football player. But the first topic that I do want to discuss here on the podcast is one AFC and one NFC team that has potential to get into the playoffs after missing the postseason in 2021. So, JJ, I want to toss it to you here. Give me a team in the AFC that you think has the potential to get back into the postseason.
Yeah, it took me a minute. It was a lot of great teams that was in the last year, too. And then I circled back around, and one that stuck out to me was Indianapolis Colts. I think with Frank Reich coming back, I think with Gus Bradley coming in with the same scheme of cover three defense Matt Eberflus had, the signing of Stephon Gilmore, the signing of McLeod up there from Philly, the safety. I think they got a great chance of getting that team over the hump this year. Jonathan Taylor coming in second. We're coming on one of his, I'm thinking, going to be another second great year with him with that O-line he has in front of him. So I'm excited to see what the Indianapolis Colts is going to do, and I think they're going to surprise a lot of teams. The AFC South is not as strong as it used to be with the departure of A.J. Brown. Julio's, I don't think he's not going to be back with Tennessee. And Houston, I still think they're on the rise, but I still think it's going to take a year or two. So I'm riding with the Indianapolis Colts.
You know, that's a really good team, and unfortunately things didn't work out with Carson Wentz. All they needed to do, JJ, was win that Jacksonville game at the end of the regular season, and they would have gotten into the playoffs, but they couldn't get the job done. Jonathan Taylor, we know, is a workhorse. The guy's dominant. Now the question is, Matty Ice, Matt Ryan, the veteran there in Indianapolis now, and so there's a lot of people around the league that are excited, and they're curious to see how much good football Matt Ryan has left. Now he did show quite a bit last season in Atlanta. Of course, that was a team that was in the rebuild, but he still put up some good numbers. Now he's got Michael Pittman, Paris Campbell, another weapon there, and so you got plenty of weapons at his disposal there in Indianapolis. So, JJ, in your personal opinion, do you think Matt Ryan has what it takes to get this Colts team back to the promised land?
I do. I don't think you're going to ask much from Ryan. I don't think you want Matt to go out there and snake around like he used to back in 2012, 13, the early 14s, the pre before they hit the Super Bowl. But I think if you get the right pieces around like they have around in Indy, a good, strong O-line. Matt took a lot of beatings the last previous 2 years in Atlanta due to that. I think with the running game of Jonathan Taylor, he's young, he's fresh. I think he's still coming off. He's going to be feeling good after coming off the year he had last year. A couple targets, big targets, similar to Julio and Michael Pittman. And I think you add that and have him do his job as a veteran. I think he's surrounded by great talent. I think it's set up for straight success.
All right, so JJ's team in the AFC is the Colts. Now I'll give my team. I firmly believe the Baltimore Ravens will get back into the playoffs. Wow. They went 8-9 in 2021. You know, this was a team that got banged up with injuries. Lamar wasn't healthy. COVID issues were all over the team. But this year, JJ, I think Baltimore, John Harbaugh, I think they're going to get back into the playoffs. They got a new DC. They let go of Wink Martindale, and they brought in Mike McDonald from Michigan, who had prior experience working on the Ravens staff. And then I really like what they've done this offseason. I mean, bringing back big Michael Pierce, the nose tackle back, who signed with the Vikings, but he was prior with the Baltimore Ravens. He's another run stuffer that they're going to add to that front seven. And then, of course, the big fish was Marcus Williams, the big safety signing out of New Orleans. You're going to add him to that secondary with Marlon Humphrey. I think that's going to be a good look for a Baltimore team that needed to solidify the safety position. And then, of course, the NFL draft was another great, I guess you could say, a weekend for Eric DaCosta. I mean, they go and get Kyle Hamilton at 14th overall, another safety. Yep. Got Tyler Linderbaum, the number one rated center at 25. And then they took the wild card on David Ojabo, who, if it wasn't for that torn Achilles, he would have been a top 20 pick. Yep. He ends up going at 45. And then, of course, my other favorite pick they took was Travis Jones, the DT out of UConn, 76th overall. So when I look at the makeup of this team, JJ, I mean, they have Lamar back in the fold. J.K. Dobbins is coming back after missing last season. You know, a lot of excitement, Rashad Bateman and the growth he's going to have. And then, of course, Mark Andrews. They traded Hollywood Brown, but they have enough, I believe, on that offense to really thrive. And we'll see what Greg Roman comes up with this year. But defensively, bringing back Calais Campbell, and then you have the depth now in the secondary. I think this Ravens team is destined for some success.
Yeah, I agree too. Like I said, John Harbaugh does a great job year in and year out. I think Lamar Jackson's come around the curve. I think he's hearing the he says about the playoffs and the playoffs and success and stuff like that. So I'm excited for the Baltimore Ravens as well as for Lamar Jackson as well.
All right, well, let's go to the NFC, JJ. Give me a team that you think is headed to the playoffs in 2022 that was not there last year.
I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints. I think they got a good thing going on down there with Dennis Allen. I think they're going to do a great job with Jameis Winston coming back with the offense. He had a year to kind of get into it and mold with those guys. Michael Thomas coming back off of injuries. They got Chris, a guy from Ohio State on the other end. I think they got two good running backs. I think they got Martin Eagle coming back as well for with Alvin Kamara. I think the defense is already was stacked, but they added some key pieces. Tyrann Mathieu. They got Marcus May on the back end. He was very healthy and doing very good when he was healthy. I like Marcus Lattimore. He's a get in your face and get Garage your best player all around the field, which is hard to find. The linebacker Mario Williams, Thomas, those guys was doing amazing coming off the end. With a lot of good other players as well, too. I mean, I don't want to, talk and scream along, but I like New Orleans Saints. I like where they're going. I think Dennis Allen, all he did was just take a step up from the position he was in. And I'm really excited to see what New Orleans Saints do this year.
Yeah, and you know what? When you talk about the Saints, and I'm glad you brought up the defense. I mean, they really beefed up on that end. And, of course, Dennis Allen becoming the full-time head coach with Sean Payton out in retirement as of now. But Jameis Winston, that's the big question mark in New Orleans. We know that he started the year last year really good, but then, of course, he suffered that torn ACL, and then it was a quarterback carousel there in New Orleans with Taysom Hill and Trevor Siemian, and the rookie Ian Book even got in on some action, and so they were really hampered with that quarterback position. Now, Jameis Winston, I mean, he is obviously proven that he can let the ball rip and he could throw for 300, 400 yards, right? But turnovers, at least in Tampa, had been his issue. And that was something that he looked like he was turning the corner early in the 2021 season, just kind of being that game manager. Now, even more so, JJ, when you have Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, Jarvis Landry, right? Alvin Kamara. And so you have enough firepower and offense to where Jameis doesn't have to go out there and throw the ball 30, 40 times a game, And then so I'm really curious to see how Jameis Winston, number one, is going to bounce back from that ACL, and number two, just how dynamic he's going to be as a passer.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, when you got key pieces like you mentioned in the Jarvis Landry, those guys, you don't have to force anything. If you have one of your two options is not there, your third option is still an all pro. And I like that a lot. You got Alvin Kamara that can come out of the backfield. He's mismatches as well for your linebackers. So, like I say, they just if you just stick to the plan and stay healthy and don't force anything, I think the New Orleans Saints are going to be a team to look forward to.
And it's also worth noting, JJ, that we have discussed this on one of our previous podcasts, but the Saints have big old Tom Brady's number since he joined the Tampa Bay Bucks. The Saints, I think, have not lost to the Tom Brady-led Bucks in the last couple of years. So if they can continue knocking off Tom Brady and they can put together some valuable wins, I mean, I think you are right, JJ. I think that team definitely has the potential to get into the playoffs.
Yep, I agree.
All right, so now my NFC team right here, the Minnesota Vikings. All right, 8-9 in 2021, new GM in Kwesi Adufo-Mensah, new head coach in Kevin O'Connell, plucked him from the Rams and Sean McVay's coaching tree. Now, here's why, JJ, I believe the Vikings are destined for the playoffs. You add Za'Darius Smith to pair with Daniel Hunter, who missed most of last season. And now you add Jordan Hicks. They picked him up from the Cardinals, a linebacker. You pick up Harrison Phillips, a defensive tackle from Buffalo. You bring back Patrick Peterson, and then you go to the draft, and they solidify the secondary, which was one of their priorities, JJ. Louis Cine from Georgia in round one, Andrew Booth from Clemson in round two. And then I really like the Ed Ingram pick, LSU offensive guard, and then Brian Asamoah, the linebacker from OU. You know that they kind of parted ways with Anthony Barr, who's still a free agent. But when I look at the offense now, Kirk Cousins, I know he's kind of been one of the most inconsistent players, but yet when he's been on, I think this guy, you know, obviously plays at a high level. Dalvin Cook's back in the mix, but it's Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, JJ. I mean, those two guys, as long as they can stay healthy, they're going to give a lot of defenses issues. And so I think with the new energy of a new coaching staff, I think this Vikings team can go places, and that's why I believe they can get into the playoffs.
Absolutely. And like I said, the team that usually is always in the playoffs. I think this might have been the first time. This was a shocker for everybody because Minnesota is always in the playoffs. So I think they're going to do a great job. They got a lot of veteran players. I'm a big fan. You know, I'm a safeties guy. So I've always been a fan of Harrison and that young guy, Louis Cine. I think he did a great job coming out of Florida. You put him in a nice role and have him fill in. And also the defensive coordinator. Defense. If you look up his stats, he's always had a top 10 to top 15 defense, even as a rookie season as a defensive coordinator back in his history. So I'm excited to see what Minnesota brings and make sure they get over that hump this year.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see Za'Darius Smith face his former team twice a year, the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. I know that there was a little bit of, I guess you could say, some bad business blood between both sides. And so Za'Darius chooses to go to Minnesota. And I'm looking forward to see if he can get after his old buddy Aaron Rodgers. Time will tell. But let's go ahead and segue, JJ, to the very next topic is which rookie head coach will have the most success this season. Now, we both kind of mentioned some rookie head coaches in our previous segment. You mentioned Dennis Allen and the Saints. I mentioned Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings. But here are the others, just for those listening, you know, a little refresher. It's been a long offseason. So we got O'Connell in Minnesota. We got Matt Eberflus in Chicago. We got Brian Daboll in New York. Nathaniel Hackett in Denver, Dennis Allen, as mentioned, in New Orleans, Doug Peterson in Jacksonville, Mike McDaniel in Miami, Lovie Smith in Houston, and then Josh McDaniels in Las Vegas. So let's toss it to you, JJ, again, and you could say the same one or you can have a different coach, but who's a rookie head coach that you think is set up for some success in year one?
You stole it. I'm going to go with Kevin O'Connell with the Minnesota Vikings. That's who I had circled. I seen the great job that he did with Matthew Stafford, as well as a golf up in Detroit Lions now. So, excuse me. I know people moving all over the place nowadays, so I had to get back familiar with the teams. But long story short, I like what he does with his rookie guys. I like what he does. He brings to the offense. He brings a mixture. He brings play action. You got two good running backs in Delvin Cook. And then you got some great wide receivers, Adam and Jefferson. Like you said, then I'm going back over to the defense. If you did any homework on Ed Donatell, he turned those defenses. He is a safety friendly and a corner friendly guy. You got the best of both worlds. You got Patrick Peterson.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Stand on one end, and then you got to have some back on the back end to help. You know, so like I said, I think Minnesota with the rookie coach and rookie head coach Kevin O'Connor, I think he's going to do a great job and get that team, like we said, to the playoffs again.
All right, I'm going to go with a new name that we haven't mentioned, Nathaniel Hackett with the Denver Broncos. I mean, this is a coach that walks in. The Denver Broncos, they swung for the fences. They landed Russell Wilson in that blockbuster trade. But then you look at that Denver offense. I mean, you got Cortland Sutton, KJ Hamler. You got Jerry Jeudy. I know they traded Noah Fant, but they have that 1-2 running back duo of Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon. They brought him back. And then defensively, I'm not entirely sure if they're as strong as when they had the dominant Super Bowl winning defense yet, but they do have some pieces. JJ, Patrick Surtain coming back in year number two, who's locking down the outside. And then you also look at Bradley Chubb. They signed Randy Gregory in free agency from Dallas, trying to shore up that edge rusher position. And so I understand that the AFC West is going to be completely stacked. I mean, the Chiefs, the Chargers, Raiders, and now the Denver Broncos, that is going to be an electric division. And so while that may make it a little bit more difficult for Hackett because of the division, I still think when you acquire a quarterback the caliber of Russell Wilson, I think that's going to elevate that Denver Broncos team this year. And I believe that that is why Nathaniel Hackett is in line for a nice season there in Denver.
And I agree with you. And I'm going to throw another one out there. I'm going to go Miami Dolphins. I think what Mike McDaniel is going to do down there with that offensive scheme that they had, I think he's going to do a great job down there. He got a lot of good weapons. We all know Tua. We all know he got the Cheetah. We got some other pieces as well. He got Teddy Bridgewater at the backup. Like, he got Chase Edmonds from Arizona. He did a great job last year too. And I'm excited to see their defense is not far off as well. You know, they Coach Bart Dick did a good job of bringing in some good additional pieces. He broke on Melvin Ingram off the edge. I think that's going to be a key piece as well. You got Howard, that's a lockdown top. I'm excited to see that, but I think Miami's going to get over the hump. I'm going to go back even to the AFC, you know, East-West.
I think with
the Patriots, I think the Patriots are going to be up there as well, but I don't think they're going to be as strong as they used to and be just dominant again. So I think Miami's going to sneak around and get in there as well.
Yeah, if Tua can progress from last year, and of course it's going to help with a guy like Mike McDaniel there. And then, yeah, defensively, let's not forget they brought back Emmanuel Ogba. They have Jalen Phillips, the second-year player who's coming back. You know, they have a lot of pieces. Xavien Howard, Byron Jones. They have the young safety, Javonte Holland, who was named to an all-rookie team, the safety out of Oregon. So, yeah, man, a lot of talent down there in Miami. Of course, you brought up the Cheetah Hill trade. So a lot of explosive. And then Jalen Waddle, JJ. Right. So you got two explosive playmakers to go along with Mike Gesicki, who's one of the most athletic tight ends in the NFL. So if that offense can't get off the ground, I don't know what else to think of.
Right. Now, you can't blame it on the pieces of the personnel at all. So. And not even the coaching staff, because I'm pretty sure, I know for sure Mike McDaniel did a great job over his coaching staff, because he always does. And, I think Miami is a team to watch out for and be on the lookout for.
All right, so some excitement there. Now let's talk about an NFL head coach that you think is under the most pressure as we get ready for the 2022 season. Now, JJ, I'm going to take the reins first here, and I'm going to give you – and this one hits home, obviously. You know where I stand as my fandom, the Dallas Cowboys, man. I'm going to say Mike McCarthy. All right. Mm-hmm. You know, the Dallas Cowboys, we know, and I know, being a fan, it's been a very long time, 26 seasons and counting without a Lombardi trophy. You know, this is a team that has not won a divisional round playoff game since 1995 when I was born. All right. Yeah. This is a team that obviously, you know, for the most part, they'll win the NFC East because it's been weaker these last several years, but they always bow out in round one of the playoffs again in 2021 against the San Francisco 49ers. Now, Mike McCarthy, he's completed two seasons in Dallas, 18-15. He went 6-10 in his first year, of course. That's when Dak got hurt, and then 12-5 in 2021, 1-done in the playoffs. What I'm going to bring in here is the Sean Payton rumors about him potentially returning to Dallas. There's been a lot of talk over the last couple of years, even more so now that Sean Payton has stepped away from New Orleans. Now there's some, smoke coming up maybe about Sean Payton being interested in getting back to Dallas. So because of all that pressure, and we know that the Cowboys, they have not done very well in playoffs, I'm going to say Mike McCarthy for that specific reason, JJ, because if Mike McCarthy can't get this team beyond the divisional round of the playoffs in his third year, and of course with the whole speculation of Payton, I think his, tenure in Dallas could come to an end just because this team just has not been able to get over that hump.
Right. How about them Cowboys, too, man?
Yes, sir.
So I definitely agree with you. I've heard the Sean Payton rumors as well. I'm going to go even more farther with it. I think a coach to watch out for if it doesn't work out is Dan Quinn. I think Dan Quinn did a hell of a job last year. He had some head coaches off of last year as well, too. And that's already home for him already right now with the defense and the things he's done. And even when he had to intern some, when Mike McCarthy went down, I think they won that game down to New Orleans, which was a tough one, but they pulled it out with this first win as a coach for that season. So I definitely agree with you on that, and I think Dallas Cowboys, Mike McCarthy is definitely on the radar the big time this year.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Dan Quinn aspect because that's another chunk that plays into Mike McCarthy's future, JJ, because, you know, let's not forget that Dan Quinn was a very hot commodity as a head coaching candidate. And he turned down a head coaching job offer to return to Dallas as the DC. And so maybe there's a little convo between him and Jerry Jones, and maybe Jerry Jones told him, hey, Dan, listen, you know, if things don't work out with McCarthy here in 2022, you're our guy in waiting for 2023. And so that could very well be the case, JJ. And you know what? I would love that because Dan Quinn is a guy that obviously the team has responded well to. The defense made outstanding strides in his first season last year. And so it seems like he's a player that a lot of players respect in the locker room. Now, JJ, if I'm not mistaken, you have played for Dan Quinn, right?
Yes, I have.
So what is it about him that gets the players fired up? I mean, it looks like he brings a whole lot of energy in the locker room. I mean, what do you like the most about what Dan Quinn has to offer?
Yeah, Dan Quinn is a great coach. I played with him here in 2019 and 2020 here in the Atlanta Falcons. When I came all through those doors through my official visit, it was a no question. Dan Quinn is a great guy. He studies and loves football like no one else. He get out there with you and practice with you. He get out here, he breaks it down to you. And he's a player coach. He's not the rah-rah type. He's not going to get up there and give you a deep personal speech, but he's going to talk football. And when he talks, everybody listen. His command of the room is amazing. And I think that's what, at that level, to be the high successful he is, you have to be player related. And he's a guy that's going to sit out there, first one out there and the last one to leave with his Jordans on, and his hat backward and his wristband on. He's just cool, man. Like I say, he's a coach that every player would wish to die for and run through a big wall for. And it just comes from his time on and off the field, as well as his education, the way he communicates and teaches guys football again, which makes it back fun.
Well, that's great player insight. So, I appreciate that type of in-depth analysis about Dan Quinn. But, JJ, it's your turn, man. Give me a head coach that you think is on the hot seat.
I'm going to go Cleveland Browns, Kevin Stefanski. I think this team is under the radar. For the last year or so, I don't think they matched out to what had it look on paper with Landry and Odell Beckham and Beckham and the two running backs they got back there with Chubb and the wide receivers that they had and the tight ends as well. That's good at their defense. They don't get a lot of credit for their defense. They got two of the premier young corners in the league. They got a great safety. They got pass rushers, Miles Garrett. Clowney coming back again too. So they got a lot of heat and a lot of good things. They get a lot of heat and a lot of different things, but their defense was probably one of the top 3, 4, 5. They knocked the Pittsburgh Steelers out of the playoffs first round, which was unexpected. So they have the talent. Now, as far as the chemistry and bonding, I would like to see how that goes this year. You got Deshaun Watson signing one of the biggest deals in NFL history, but he still got a lot of illegal stuff going on, lingering on. So, Baker Mayfield, they still haven't released him yet, so it's still something that's holding them there with that as well too. So we don't know if they know anything about Deshaun's future, or is that hanging on to Baker, or you know, is it just something that they see fit for Baker to maybe get the best out of him? So I'm gonna go with the Cleveland Browns with Kevin. I think that he had more than enough time to rebuild and get that team together. I think if it don't work out this year with the sign of Deshaun, that they might not necessarily blow it up or just start fresh from a up higher standpoint and work his way up down.
Yeah, you know, that Cleveland Browns job with Stefanski definitely does kind of, I guess it's in murky waters because of the whole Watson situation. I mean, you really don't know what to expect, especially with all these allegations and lawsuits continuing to mount. Now, what, 24 civil lawsuits and yeah. That big New York Times article. And so the NFL, I mean, I think everybody knows that a suspension is coming for Watson. It's just a matter of, is it going to be the whole year? Is it going to be 10 games, 12 games, 8 games? And so that's in limbo now. That's why they did go out and sign Jacoby Brissett, who will be the one to step in there if Watson's not available. I know they still have Baker, but I don't expect him to be on the roster week one. So the question is if Watson is indeed out for half a year or a full year, you know, Brissett is going to have to be your guy. Now, luckily right. for them, they have that beefed up defense, but mm-hmm. you know, without that, I guess, superstar level quarterback, they would really have to rely on Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, and then that defense. And so that's where Stefanski and his involvement, I think it's gonna be a lot of uncertainty for him. And so I think all people in Cleveland are a little bit nervous about how this Watson situation is going to play out.
Yeah, I agree with you. And like you said, I'm going to piggyback off that defense. They do have a defense, but I don't know if it's built to go, you know, 10 to 12 games carrying on the back. Every defense needs help with offense as well, too. So, like I say, I don't – you know, it's a lot of uncertainties going on. And around this time of the year, well, how as you build teams right now are building their mold, building their face, building their identity. I know it's still early. I know it's just minicamp, but these are the days where you grind and you get to know your teammates and learn it. So uncertainty right now is kind of – it's a shaky train, and a train I wouldn't want to be on right now, but we'll see. You know, I hope the Cleveland Browns prove me wrong. But I think it's going to be the team and the head coach to watch for this year.
Some valuable information right there from JJ. And you know, those of you tuning in, and I'm excited now that I'll be posting these podcast episodes in the summer back on Apple, on Spotify, so there's going to be a whole lot more people tuning in. And it's always great to have JJ come on the show. I mean, he is so insightful with his answers. I mean, and then he does his homework too. I mean, hey, he came prepared, and I wouldn't expect anything less. You know, he is still a free agent, still wanting to play, and he's still, you know, training every single morning, trying to wait for that call. And you know, in mandatory mini camp and training camp coming up, you know, there's going to be opportunities that could potentially be coming his way. And so, JJ, with that being said, man, as always, it's a pleasure getting you on the podcast, kind of picking your brain a little bit about these coaches, some of these players. And so know that your time here on the Pro Football Jays podcast is valued by me and by all the listeners.
Hey, I truly appreciate that, Isaac. It's been an honor. Like I say, I get up every and money. Looking forward to it. I follow you a lot on IG. Man, you're doing a lot of great things. You get a lot of people great insight on social media as well. And I think you got some great things coming for you. And I'm just excited to be a part of it. I truly am. Thank you.
Hey, man, not a problem, JJ. And you know, you and I are always tied together, man, with the How About Them Cowboys. You know where it's at. Hey, man.
Absolutely.
Well, take care. Have a blessed rest of the day, brother. Take care, you and your family. Looking forward to next Monday. We'll chat up some more football. And until then, man, take care and stay safe.
All right. Thank you. Hey, you do the same. Blessings, and be great.
All right.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.